why did you get on board and co-sponsor this legislation?
Well, two reasons. One is nonpartisan judicial races have been an important way that we conducted judicial races in the past, takes the politics out as much as you can in elections. And it's a system that we ended, which we were the only state in the country that went from nonpartisan to partisan. So I believe very much in an independent judiciary, and so I support this bill. The other reason is Joe John, who was a longtime representative and a judge on the Court of Appeals, passed away recently. He used to introduce this same legislation every session because of his commitment to a nonpartisan judiciary and, you know, a fair rule of law. And so we wanted to honor him and also just carry on his legacy.
Senator, how much of this bill is in response to what's currently going on with our current state Supreme Court race between Judge Jefferson Griffin and Justice Allison Riggs?
Well, I mean, the timing is, I understand why you raised the question because of the timing for sure. But this is actually the exact bill that Judge John always introduced. And so it's been something that that was really about carrying on his legacy and also just the general idea that, you know, we used to do this, we used to do judicial elections in a way that didn't result in stuff like we're seeing now. So there's certainly a connection between them because we're seeing a very partisan kind of fight now over this Supreme Court seat. And we have to just keep pointing out that, it, you know, a different way is not only possible, but also it worked in the past. And so it's not in response to that, but it's certainly the timing is helpful for us to be able to point that out.
Changing gears on you, if I could. We heard the news yesterday. Sure. The House passed more funding for Hurricane Helene victims, another $500 million in aid for Western North Carolina. Do you anticipate this passing the Senate relatively quickly?
I'm not sure that it will pass in its current form. I think we will certainly have Helene relief. I think there'll be lots of arguments over how broad it ought to be. I think the governor has asked for more than $1 billion. This obviously doesn't quite get there. I think everybody wants to do right by Western North Carolina. There are different ideas about how quickly we ought to step in as a state while we wait for the feds to kind of turn through their, you know, lengthier system. Like, you know, we all understand we're going to need federal money to really address the needs, but we need to get some state money in the hands of folks in the western part of the state sooner rather than later.
To that point, how do you balance waiting for those federal dollars, knowing there's going to be a match for some of the stuff that the state uses? How do you walk that tightrope of the folks needing money in Western North Carolina, but also needing the federal resources too?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to look at, you know, think about return on investment, right? We're talking about spending money now, but, you know, if we're letting businesses go under and we're letting people, you know, move away from the area because they can't repair their homes quickly enough, that sort of thing, you know, that has much more negative financial consequences down the road for the state and certainly for that region. And so I think we have to make sure that we're not just, you know, waiting around too long and then miss the opportunity to preserve some of these communities.
As you get deeper into these budget talks and negotiations, we have heard a lot from the state treasurer about the state health plan and the impact to the state budget moving forward. Do you keep that and other potential shortfalls in mind as you go forward with these budget talks?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot of needs that have been unmet, and the state health plan is one example where we have not really been keeping up with the needs, and we have a lot of other areas of state government, including vacancy rates across state agencies. So all that has to be kept in mind, and I think, you know, from my perspective, and I don't think that this is the view of the current ruling majority, from my perspective, we really should be pausing some of these corporate tax cuts and tax cuts for the wealthiest folks while we make sure we're stable going forward, because we have a lot of unmet needs and a lot of needs we see coming down the pike. So I think we need to stabilize our revenues so that we can make smart decisions to invest in what we're going to be seeing in the next 5 to 10 years.
Are there other things that you'd like to see addressed or accomplished during this session on Jones Street?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the budget is a big one. I think there are a lot of other issues around healthcare, things that I've been passionate about and working on to make sure we are addressing healthcare disparities across the state, lots of areas of the state that still don't have access to a lot of providers. We have a lot of healthcare deserts in the state. So that's an important one. I think education is always important. A lot of these things obviously have budget implications, but I think we also have to think about not just the dollars, but again, what we're investing in down the road that's going to benefit the state in the long run.
Wake County Senator Lisa Grafstein. Senator, always appreciate the time and the perspective. Hope we can visit again on a number of topics very soon.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.